Deanna and Christy, you've preached the sermon for me this morning already. Thank you. May God bless us as we look at God's word together. Didn't see you there. Do you come here often? What's that, you say? It's usually your preacher standing here? Sorry to disappoint, or maybe I'm not disappointing. Looks like I've been resurrected again. Just kidding. What was that you say? Yes, I'm long dead. And this is at least the second time I've been resurrected. Puzzled, aren't you? Well, maybe that's because you still don't seem to know who I am. I think your worship leader read you a story this morning from what you call the Gospel of John. I'm in that story. But I bet you don't really remember me from that story. You probably remember me better from a story in the previous chapter in the same book. Same set of characters, same bat time, same bat channel. Oh, yes, wrong story. Same Gospel of John, same set of characters. I'm Lazarus. You probably first heard about me when you were pretty little in Sunday school. I'm the guy that Jesus raised from the dead. Or was I dead? Well, everyone thought I was, that's for sure. And my good friends, Mary and Martha, wonderful friends. We lived in a village called Bethany. And every time Jesus was around, he stayed with us. And then I got very sick. So sick that Mary and Martha sent word for Jesus to come. We knew Jesus did miracles. We all believed he could heal me. But he was teaching and doing miracles in different towns at the time. And he sent word back that he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. And he would get to us when the time was right. I was too sick to know what was going on. But Mary and Martha were indignant. What kind of friend would let us down in our time of need? And as was kind of dreaded and expected, with the illness that I have, I died. Died. And so as far as we are in our tradition, our Jewish tradition, I was buried. And in Mary and Martha's grief, as is so often with grief that we have, there was also some anger. Anger that our friend Jesus had forgotten us. Or maybe he wasn't our friend anymore. And then he did show up, kind of late. And as some modern radio commentator of your era has said, I'll tell you now, the rest of the story. Jesus did cry. Jesus was very sad about my death. But then he did something that had never happened in our lifetime before. He raised me from the dead. Yeah, I know that doesn't seem real. Didn't seem real to Mary and Martha, or anyone else for that matter. And as for me, all I know is that when I woke up, I saw Jesus standing in front of me, and Mary and Martha standing there, utterly amazed and dumbfounded. And other friends and some of Jesus' disciples were there as well. Now, all I knew was that I was hungry and trying to get my bearing again on my feet. So, ha. Maybe I've been resurrected again today to talk to you guys. By the way, have you got any food? Thought I smelled some ham, some turkey, some ribs, and some meatballs. How come you didn't invite me over last night? Oh, well. So now do you remember me? But I digress. This isn't even the Bible story your worship leader read to you this morning. Well, Jesus was coming back to town. And when we were ready, well, truth be told, Martha was ready. Martha was the one who always could prepare a meal to a crowd. And while with Jesus, we usually had over some of his disciples, you know, Peter and John and Matthew and maybe one or two others. And could Martha cook? Some of my favorites, lamb chops, char souffle, and she'd always make sure we had one of our better wines when Jesus came. Because Jesus truly loved to party. We knew, for example, that Jesus would go to some of their homes to party, with tax collectors, that horrible group, and even prostitutes. What would people think? Didn't Jesus have shame to be with them? But I digress. So Martha was doing her usual thing, and Jesus arrives, and we welcome him and some of his disciples. And we get caught up with him with what's going on. As Martha's rushing around getting the food ready. And then an incredibly strange thing happens. Never seen it before and never seen it since. Mary, the one that would always listen to Jesus, goes and brings out over a bottle of nard. Of nard! That incredibly expensive bottle of perfume. Now, I get that some of you might have smell sensitivities. I get that. But we didn't know anything about that in those days. And often what a bottle of this was used for was to anoint a dead body to prepare it for burial. Because dead bodies would sure stink up a place. And a nice bottle of perfume would cover that smell. She cracked that bottle open in the house and got on her knees, and began to pour that bottle on Jesus' feet. Imagine. You could see the look of amusement on some faces, horror on others, and the beginning to plugging of noses on most of us. You know, a little is pretty nice. It did smell a whole bottle. And did she just put an ounce or two on Jesus' feet? No. She poured the whole bottle. Like what for? We'd never seen that before. When guests would come from afar, it was a custom to wash your guests' feet, yes. So this was kind of like that. But perfume? Well, we've heard of this in some stories about some kings in some different places. But we'd never seen it. Now, we all love Jesus. And we had our various opinions as to what Jesus was even doing here. That he was a miracle worker was undeniable. I'm proof. That his teachings were extraordinary, we all agreed. Some even thought he was a Messiah, though there was no sign yet that he was gathering an army to throw over the Romans. Some thought he would save us from ourselves. He was always talking about stuff like turning the other cheek. Didn't seem very Messiah-like. And forgiving sins. But we also heard him tell us that the poor were blessed in the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes it seemed like he was ushering that kingdom in among us. So again, if the poor were the priority, the disciples' treasurer had something to say about this wasteful procedure. Judas, the treasurer of the disciple group, said what many of us were thinking. Even a part of me was thinking. Jesus could have sold that bottle of perfume, sold it, or never bought it, and given the 300 denarii to the poor. Way to go, Judas. I was too polite to say it, but he wasn't. So were others, but we were thinking it. So what would Jesus say? How would Jesus answer the question? And then Jesus said the strangest thing. Leave her alone. She bought it for my burial. You always have the poor among you, but you don't always have me. Now, what were we to make of this? She bought it for my burial, he said. But Jesus wasn't being buried at the moment. But see, we didn't know what you know now. We didn't know that Jesus' burial was imminent. Within a week of this story, Jesus would die his most horrible death imagined, a death with no dignity in our culture, a death on the cross. Did Jesus know this was about to happen? Maybe, maybe not. Did Mary know this was about to happen? Almost certainly not. So why did she do it now? Was it a premonition? Was it an anointing? Was she preparing Jesus for his death? Was she anointing him for his mission? Was she anointing a king? Was she giving her all to the one she loved so much, who had taught us so much? All of these answers are possible, and none of them are for sure. Some sort of anointing at the very least, and coronation as king also possible, though not for sure, are interpretations that can be given to this event. What you can be sure about was how much it smelled up the house. It was beautiful and awful at the same time. But she didn't stop there. Because it was clearly too much, she took that long, gorgeous hair and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. Yuck. Gross. What was that? How personal could you get? Such a personal act as that is pretty hard to understand. I know that Mary was grateful for the fact that Jesus had resurrected me from the dead. But you could see how this would seem to be a shameful act. And the disapproving looks that came from around the house. And the murmuring. But you know what we didn't know. You know that just a few days later, Jesus would be tried by both the Jewish authorities and the Roman authorities. It would be horrible. Someone who had never killed anyone and had never asked us, his followers, to kill anyone. Someone who had only healed and taught us to turn the other cheek and to give to the poor and to pray modestly, not like the publicans who prayed on the street corners. He would die a cruel and senseless death on a Roman cross, reserved for those that had challenged the rule of Rome. And it was only after the death of Jesus that we understood the profound significance of Mary's act. Now, we loved our Mary. Oh, there was friction between us, like when Martha accused Mary in front of Jesus that Mary wasn't helping out with food preparations and just sitting at Jesus' feet listening to his teachings. But in the end, we were not really special people. Still really peasants under Roman rule, nobodies. And so Mary's shameless act of anointing Jesus was what? For his death? Surely. For his kingship? Maybe. What was that? This wasn't King Herod giving his blessing. This wasn't a Roman centurion giving his blessing. We were ordinary folks. Nobody by the world's standards. And Mary was a woman to boot, as lowly as you could get. But we loved Jesus. And surely Mary loved Jesus with all that she had. But it was a sign of how much Jesus loved us, too. And when we understood that Jesus loved us so much that we would do anything for him, any sense of our loneliness and our shame were gone. And so Mary's actions became remembered by the church, all of it. The expensive perfume, her kneeling at Jesus' feet, her extravagant love for the one who had raised me from the grave, using her hair, to wipe Jesus' feet, while we stood there and looked, aghast at her action, even ashamed perhaps. And Jesus blessed what she did. Jesus said it was the right thing to do. Jesus claimed it as an anointment to his death. which we didn't know, but you know now, was just around the corner. And it was after the resurrection, after God would raise Jesus from the dead, that we remembered Mary's act. We remembered that it was his anointment, perhaps a declaration of him as king. All four Gospels would record some version of the story, though the versions would differ from each other. In fact, Mark would remember a story of this happening on Jesus' head, not on Jesus' feet. Was Mark telling a different story? Or had Mark heard it differently? We don't know why Mark's story is so different. And Mary is not named in Mark's story. It seems possible that the woman in Mark's story is in fact what you would call a fallen woman. It doesn't matter. And there, Jesus says, the name of this person would always be remembered. And Mark doesn't even give us her name. Is it a second story, or is it a different story? I don't know. But what I do know, because I was there in the church after the resurrection, is like Mary, like the woman that wasn't named, Jesus took everyone as his followers and took away their shame. Mary's act, he said, was one of dignity. And even Jesus' followers could do despicable things in their lives, horrible things. And Jesus accepted them back without shame. Peter was there that day at the dinner when Mary did it with the perfume. And just a few days later, Peter, one of Jesus' very best friends, would three times say, "I don't know Jesus." Unlike Mary, Peter betrayed our friend, our Lord. Peter, Pope Peter the First, a leader in Jesus' group, a leader in the church, would betray Jesus, yet be forgiven and restored to leadership. The ancestor of Pope Francis the First. So Jesus accepts all of us, each one of us, and all that we are, if we come to Jesus. Regardless of whether the world has shamed us, like Mary being a lowly woman, regardless of whether we smell wrong, regardless of whether we are mentally ill, regardless of whether we have an illness we call addiction, or regardless of because we talk funny or other actions that have shamed us, or like Peter's horrible actions, we have been shamed, like sins in our lives, or people we have hurt, or ways which we have done things to hurt the church. Regardless, the one who blessed Mary that day wants to bless each one of us, wants us to come and be called blessed. Come receive Jesus' joy as Mary did that day, regardless of who you are or what you have done. In the community of the followers of Jesus, we are to be loved like Mary. We are to be held. We are invited to be joyful. May Jesus bless each one of us as he did Mary, as Mary blessed her with the nard on the feet. And next time, don't call me back. I'm getting pretty smelly. Amen.